This is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and let me tell you about Robin Alexis. She's an animal communicator, gifted past life reader, medium, ghost whisperer, healer, and more. When you call into her radio show, Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis, or when you call her for your one-on-one phone session, she listens to what your metaphysical concerns are. She can clear and rebalance your energy, plus she uses all of her eclectic psychic skills to assist you in reaching your full potential in life. I like and trust Robin so much that I work with her on a one-on-one basis regularly. Plus, I have her as a guest on my radio show, Animal World, monthly. To listen to her show, Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis, and to schedule a one-on-one phone session with her, visit robinalexis.com. That's robinalexis.com, or call her for one-on-one phone sessions at 530-859-2499. That's 530-859-2499.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And you can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen and Watch. That will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Now, it is Vet Sunday today. Dr. Dennis Walkerbarth from the Feline Hyperthyroid Treatment Center in Shoreline, Washington is here, and we'll get back to that discussion very shortly. I just want to let you know or remind you that we have yet to give away our missing link today, and so you want to pay attention this hour because we have to give it away this hour. Jot down phone numbers and listen for the missing link words of the day. I'll even tell you it's more than one. And if you're at all intuitive, you can probably figure out the words. Anyway, local number 425-373-5527 and toll free 888-298-5569. You can shoot us an email, but can't win the contest that way. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All righty. And phone lines are open this hour for your calls about feline hyperthyroid disease. But we are going to, before we run out of time in the show, we're going to get it out of the way now, and that means it's time for current events. Okay, in the entertainment department, well, it's not all entertainment, but just so you know, Posado Safe Haven's mobile spay and neuter clinic is in South King County every Wednesday and Friday at the Regional Animal Services of King County Pet Adoption Center, at RASC as we refer to it, and it's low-cost spays and neuters. And you can call Posado at 360-793-9393, extension 4, for an appointment. We still have on, this is, you'll find this on the current events page at marthanorwalk.com. This is Mystic Radio host Robin Alexis over in Port Angeles, went to the vet to pick up some medication for her kitties. met a delightful homeless woman in the office with her beloved dog friend who was hit and run on the street, had to have a leg amputated, and of course the woman's homeless nor money, so we've started a For Buddy Fund. And I just checked with Robin on Friday, and she talked with the Angeles Clinic for Animals in Port Angeles, and the surgery cost $2,000, and we've managed to get $1,200 sent in so far. So we still need another $800 to pay for Buddy's surgery. So if you're interested in helping out, we did it as a Mother's Day giveaway last month. Well, now it's becoming a Father's Day's coming up. So if you're an animal father and you want to help Buddy, it's the For Buddy Fund. You can call the Angeles Clinic in Port Angeles to donate over the phone if you'd like to. Their number is 360-452-7686. Or you can mail a check to Angeles Clinic for Animals at 160 Del Guzzi, that's G-U-Z-Z-I Drive, 160 Del Guzzi Drive, Port Angeles, Washington, 98362. You'll find all of that information on the Animal World website, marthanorwalk.com. Click on Current Events. Remember, we've got the Bow Wow Meow Luau Adoption Event going on today until 2 p.m. at Denny's Pet World in Kirkland. Over 100 animals to choose from. Here's a new one, the ARF's fifth annual wine, a W-H-I-N-E-N cheese live auction, Friday, June 7th, 6 to 9 p.m. at Vino Bella in Burien. $25 donation to get in includes a couple of drinks, a raffle ticket, cheese, and desserts. You got to choose because you can go south to Burien. You can go north to Everett to the Northwest Dream Center and watch a free showing of the IMAX movie Beavers next Friday. That's June 7th, 7 p.m. It's free, but you need reservations because remember the auditorium has limited seating. 425-316-8592. You can still get into the nose work scent classes started in Monroe yesterday, but you could join 206-851-7528. Free spay and neuter surgeries for pit bulls that belong to low-income residents of King County at Seattle Humane through June. However, there's only 25 spots available. So you get free vaccines and $5 microchips as well. 425-649-7560. If you're over in Yakima or Albany over there, $5 spay neuter surgeries for cats through June 30th. You've just got to live in the 98903 zip code in Yakima. We've got annual Fine Wines and Felines for Meows benefit July 13th. The sexless soiree in Seattle for the Feral Cat Spay and Neuter Clinic is September 21st. First annual Community Rescue Awareness Day hosted by our own All Breed Equine Rescue in Marysville is June 15th. And the Seattle Pet Parrot Expo will be October 19th and 20th. So mark your calendars for all of that. Now, next week on Animal World, it is slated to be a Behavior Training and Healing Sunday with me. That means open phone lines for you to call in and let me help you with understand your animal friends and solve their behavior and training problems. But I've also got something cooking here. There is a huge canine behavior and convention coming up, the first annual in Redmond at the end of this month. And it's kind of huge and some big name people coming into town. And the co-founders of it is Sparks is the name of the organization. Now, let me give you the big long name here. It is the Society for the Promotion of Applied Research in Canine Science. It's a big word. That's why they call it SPARCS. Local trainer. The co-founders, I think, are going to, you know, pop in and join us next week because it's at the end of this month. It's a three-day seminar, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. First of all, one of my favorite vets, Dr. Michael Fox, will be in town. And, of course, you know, he is just huge on all kinds of stuff, a prolific author. And the other one name you'll all recognize is Mark Beckoff, who is also a professor and prolific author, and has written with Jane Goodall over the years and a lot of great stuff. And then there's a bunch of other PhDs in canine behavior and so forth, one even from Hungary that's coming in. And this is a pay-to-attend Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I have been invited to come, and I obviously can't do the show. I haven't mastered being two places at once, but I'll be at most of what I can get to on Friday and Saturday. And we'll find out more about it. The other really cool thing about this that I'm just learning is that it all is going to be watchable for free on the internet. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I like. If you can't afford to go and be in person with all these experts, you can watch for free online. So we'll have more information about that. And they may even pop in and join us in the studio next week. So there you go. That's it for current events. Okie dokie. Oh, and I should just tell you so I don't forget. Regular programming after Animal World today, an encore presentation of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis, and then an encore presentation of The Dog Show with Julie Forbes after that. All right, we are back to Vet Sunday. Dr. Dennis Walkerbarth is here from the Feline Hyperthyroid Treatment Center in Shoreline, Washington. I'm getting a great education. I hope you guys are too. We have been talking about cats with a disease. You read us the official list of all the signs and symptoms and the percentages. We've kind of established that if you suspect your cat is hyperthyroid or their problems, first step is go to your regular veterinarian or to Cats Exclusive in Shoreline to get diagnosed.
Yeah, if they've got a regular veterinarian, talk to them.
Yeah, and then and price a blood test. We'll need a T4 and...
I have to do a full body screen because you want to make sure there's nothing else bigger going on someplace else.
Yeah, so regular blood chemistries and sort of stuff to make sure what's going on. But then if hyperthyroid is diagnosed or suspected, my vote now is get your butt to the Feline Hyperthyroid Treatment Center, because you guys have the most knowledge, and I'm just really impressed at how really caring and open your heart is for not only the cats but for the owners of these kitties and their pocketbooks and the whole picture. So let's specifically deal with that situation, because y'all know Aji. Mm-hmm. And Aji, you have a kitty.
Yeah,
tell everybody about your kitty.
Oh, my kitty, his name is Jazz. That's his nickname. And he is, he's 9 and a half by the best estimate. And he started showing really extreme signs.
Has he been with you
this.
All his life? Or since an estimate, he must have been a rescue or a stray or something?
He was a stray, and the vet estimated he was about 4 years old at that time. So he's been with me, in theory, about a little over half his life. So I don't know exactly how old he is, but he was... By the vet's estimate of time, he was 9 years and 1 month when he started showing really extreme signs.
And how long ago was that?
That was in December, less than 6 months ago.
And what signs did he start showing?
Well, I'll tell you, the most extreme ones at that time was that, I remember one day he just wouldn't get out of his little cave. I made him a couple of little caves, and... He wouldn't come out, but then when I did his food and I told him, hey, the food's here, he zoomed out like a bat out of you know where, and he zoomed in there and he ate, and then he zoomed back in, and it almost looked like a kitty on crack, the way he would zoom out, and then he would zoom back, and it wasn't like him to
so
hold
this
up.
Is very strange behavior.
He's very
for him
personable
to hide.
And to the point where he's met a lot of my neighbors, and he goes for walks on his harness, and that kind of thing. And the other is really perceptibly losing weight. Mm. And he had lost some before, but it was a debate among my neighbors whether he was just fat and getting normal. But to me, he was seeming just a little thin. That was the main couple of things. And he just seemed kind of frail. That was, but here's
a great description of it.
What I noticed over the last year is that he had been having more subtle signs for a good part of the year, and they weren't anything I pegged to this. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, one of his really extreme signs were that he became, I think, more sensitive to noises and unfamiliar things. Like, for example, they did some new apartments nearby and their kids, and they have, what do you call it? The scooter where you push with one foot?
The razor.
And he would totally freak. He couldn't even go out for a walk. And another is that they planted some quaking aspens, and I think just the rustle of the trees, that was not normal for him.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, as a behavior therapist, I really haven't done much work in looking at thyroid function and behavior in cats, but I've done a lot of thyroid function and related to dogs. But, you know, like Dr. Walkerbarth says, cats aren't dogs and all of that, but sometimes there are some similarities. But a noise sensitivity or an extreme or irrational fear often relates to a hypothyroid condition in dogs.
Hypo?
Yeah. But that's interesting. It's like I said, I've never really looked really at correlation between thyroid, especially hyperthyroid, and behavior in cats, other than, you know, what you read on your list that sort of, and what you're kind of describing. But that sensitivity to noise, that kind of surprised me. Are you seeing that? Does that?
It's not a common. Okay. Comment, however, behavioral changes are common. And you think of these little cats, and again, they are so jacked up on this, you know, like you said, kitty crack. I mean, it's like being over caffeinated, these cats, and so any stimuli could make them just kind of discharge, let loose, and
that makes
sense. Or they don't want to come out of their hiding spot because they don't want that stimuli, and that's you know,
that didn't make sense to me.
They stay back because it just it's too much.
But he would come out for his food, and that's what really reminded me of it. He would zoom past me like I was a stick of wood, and that was so unlike him.
He
would go eat, and after I took him and he was diagnosed, the first dose of the methimazole, the next morning he was his old self. Yeah. That quick, it turned
him
around.
That's amazing. That's great.
So that did tell me that was the right diagnosis.
So you took him into your regular veterinarian, and what were blood tests run then?
The two things were that he said he could palpate the thyroid, and I could tell by the way he was that this was pretty extreme, too. And he said he didn't tell me
so
what
he didn't
thing.
Run blood tests?
No, he did, but he said, and we did the thorough
did the blood chemistries
and
as
he
well
said
as
everything was fine, but he mentioned 10 as a thyroid. He didn't tell me what thyroid test it was, but it appeared that that was pretty
10
high.
10 would be really high, wouldn't it? Normal
per the labs are, and again, they're different labs, so they have different ranges, but about 1.4,
right?
Yeah, 1.8 to 4.5 is the normal. So, but really, in a cat that's over 10, you know, anything over 2.5 should be suspicious, even though the normal says 4.5, because, you know, it just older cats don't have as high a thyroid level, just like us. I mean, it regulates your metabolic rate. Well, do you get more active as you get older, or do you get less active? Well, there you go. So there your thyroid levels start dropping down, too.
Yeah.
And so 10 is it's higher. It's kind of on the high end of your average hyperthyroid cat. Highest I ever have seen was 63.
Holy.
Wow.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
my gosh.
So most cats come in the 5 to 8 range. You know, we get 20s and 25s all the time, or very frequently, I should say. But 63 was my biggest.
Okay, let's time out from Ajie for a moment, and because we haven't touched on this yet. Certainly there was probably way back when I was, you know, working in veterinary hospitals and so forth, which would be back in the 60s and 70s, we just, thyroid issues were just unknown or not even.
They were not known.
Whether or not there were hyperthyroid cats and we just didn't know it, certainly that may have been possible. But I just don't remember a lot of old cats and thin cats and, you know, hyper cats and eating cat and all. I just don't remember a lot of that. But nonetheless, it seemed that, you know, towards the later 70s is when we really started seeing, that's when it was first diagnosed, you said, and so forth. Do we know what the heck is causing this? Is it just that cats are living longer, so their thyroids go kaput? Or what makes their thyroids go kaput?
Nobody,
is it the food?
Yeah, nobody knows. There's a lot of speculation. They say that cats, you know, that are on canned cat foods are more prone to it. That they've said that cats that eat out of canned cat foods that are Pop Tops are more prone to it.
Really?
I think the more... commonly accepted belief is that it might be associated with flame retardants. And it's interesting because, you know, I didn't know when flame retardants came on board, but in fact, they started pushing those in the 70s. And the tobacco industry is the one that started pushing those because...
Really?
Yeah, people are setting themselves on fire because of smoking
stuff. Right. And so, but who knows still? I mean, you know, the it's very hard to be absolute in that being the answer. Is it a flame?
Well, so you got to wonder at this point, are cats the canary in the mind now for us humans? Because, you know, flame retardants, they started putting them in everything in the 70s. You know, now we get, and of course, cats,
everything.
They're smaller, they're closer often, you know, to the carpeting. You know, to the, and they're licking
very
off the stuff. So now, is anybody looking at humans and are our thyroids at all being affected? Is anybody looking at that?
Yeah.
Do we know?
Yeah. Well, people have hyperthyroidism and they have many different types of thyroid disease. The most common one is Graves' disease, which isn't at all analogous to this. Graves' disease is an autoimmune disease, and every cell in that thyroid is bad. And so when they radiate those thyroids, which they do with I-131, those people become hypothyroid because their objective is to kill all the thyroid because it's all bad. Whereas cats have something similar to, in people, called a toxic nodular goiter, which means that they're a little toxic nodules in this thyroid, and we're after the nodules and not the whole thyroid. Mm. So they're different diseases.
Gotcha. Okay. So
same name.
But it kind of makes sense that maybe there is something that cats were being consistently exposed to that has caused this disease. And now, of course, there's a lot, I'm hearing a lot more talk about taking flame retardants out of stuff.
Right.
That there seems to be a lot more concern about that.
Right. And then they talk about taking them out. Can you take them out? Do you need to replace it with something else? And if you replace it with something else, what are we going to find about that something else in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years? And then so the question then is that something else worse in the long run than hyperthyroidism in cats? You know what I mean? It's those chemicals. What's the benefit? What's the risk?
Okay, we are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors now for the first time in this hour. And I'm going to remind you that we have not yet done our Missing Link giveaway. So you may want to be paying attention to that. And let me give you phone numbers also in case you want to call in with a question or concern about your kitty friend. 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. Stay right where you are because Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, and did you know that even if you feed your animals the highest quality all-natural food, even if you home cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food can be exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. Well, that's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. They start with human-grade, all-whole-natural, raw food sources. They've figured out a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. Comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. Keep it in the refrigerator. Once you open it, mix up your animal friend's food, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, and the fiber. Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats. There is a Missing Link formula for cats. There are two for dogs, one for birds, and for horses as well. Veterinarians can get a more potent version. So ask for the missing link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies or talk to your veterinarian. You can also go directly to Designing Health. You can give them a call at 800-774-7387 or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com. And the missing link words of the day? How about cats exclusive?
Pam and Rochelle are Chat with Women.
Remember who you're talking to, Mike.
Hello.
Chat with Women.
Listen to Chat with Women to be informed, motivated, inspired.
Don't listen to people who tell you it's never been done before. If I had looked at the SWAT team, it was an all-male team, and thought, you know what, if I'd done that, I wouldn't have had the incredible experiences.
Take 1 hour out of your day to learn and grow and change your life.
You're living in that virtual world too much.
That's right. It's a very
virtual
world.
Come on out with us and play.
Every weekday morning at 8, Chat with Women on 1150 KKNW.
Natural Pet Pantry offers your pet the best homemade healthy food and treats, taking the work out of raw food for cats and dogs. Natural Pet Pantry's homemade natural cat and dog food is Seattle's original raw and cooked pet food. USDA certified, affordable, and local. Made here in the USA. Raw Foods' natural enzymes build health with easy digestibility, providing increased energy levels and enhanced well-being in your pet, and prepared for your convenience. You'll find Natural Pet Pantry in local stores or free home delivery. NaturalPetPantry.com. It just makes sense. Call 206-850-0631. That's 206-850-0631. It's not often you find a mortgage lender who shares your passion for animals and public service. Margaret Peggy Kaler, Senior Loan Officer at Cornerstone Home Lending Incorporated, believes in animal rescue and has given back to the community in many ways. A charter member of the Rotary Club of Duval, past president of the Duval Chamber of Commerce, and organizer of the Duval Dirty Paws Dog Walk, Peggy shares your values and love of animals. Call Peggy at 206-947-0615 or visit PeggyKaler.com for your next mortgage. It's a smart move. NMLS number 393352 and WA-CL number 803075. For the last 30 years, family-owned Bothell Feed Center has carried products for all your critters. Committed to providing high-quality, well-formulated feed and care products for guinea pigs to chinchillas, chickens to wild birds, as well as your cats and dogs. At Bothell Feed, not only will you find a large variety of products with competitive pricing, but the friendly and knowledgeable staff will recommend the best products for your particular animal friend. BothellFeedCenter.com, your modern feed store with old farm charm. Visit today.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Alternative Talk 1150 is on the interwebs. Dial us up at 1150kknw.com.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and I'm sorry to say we're on the downside of this week's edition of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. I'm realizing there's no way we're going to get to everything I want to talk about on this Vet Sunday with Dr. Denner's Walker Barth and feline hyperthyroid disease. We're going to have to continue this on another show. Several questions, but I told you, you just got to be here during the breaks because you're missing too much, folks. But Dr. Dennis was in the middle of a story that we have to finish. You said that this was a case that was referred to you by another veterinarian, a cardiologist.
Right. We were just chatting about some of the clinical signs and how some of them are classical and some of them are not at all. This cat was a 23-pound cat that was sent in by Dr. Woodfield, who's a board-certified cardiologist, some years ago. And, you know, my recollection was that the referring veterinarians had done all the appropriate testing trying to determine whether this cat was hyperthyroid, and everything tested no. Low T4s, low everything. And Dr. Woodfield was having difficulty with his heart disease progressing, even on cardiac drugs. And he said, this looks like a hyperthyroid cat's heart. And so we did.
And you said this was a 23-pound cat that should have been about 12 pounds.
Exactly.
There's so if anything, you'd think hypothyroid.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. And so we did technetium scintigraphy, which we had the ability to do at that point in time, which is a radioisotope that's a marker, and you put it in and you watch its uptake. And clearly this cat was bilaterally hyperthyroid. And he had big thyroids. It's just that he was 23 pounds. I couldn't feel his neck because it was so massively obese. And so we treated his disease. His thyroid disease, and in fact, his heart fell back into normal, as I recall. It was, I think, again, this is 15, 18 years ago, but I think within 6 months or a year, the cat was off all cardiac drugs.
Do you recall if he came back to a more normal weight after that?
Well, that would have been feeding issues.
Okay. Now, I was just going to, on an aside, a quick question. Do you often see hypothyroid cats?
Well, virtually never in a natural state. I've seen some young cats that were a dwarf cat that was ultimately diagnosed as hypothyroid. We've had a few along the way, but it's really uncommon unless it's post-treatment, which, you know, I would say 1% or less of our cats are hypothyroid after treatment.
Well, let's see. And interrupting, congratulations to Carolyn from Seattle, won the feline formula of Camp Missing Link. I've got a question here from someone that says, is it possible for all blood tests to come back normal and yet the cat still has hyperthyroid issues?
Yes.
And I think you just confirmed
absolutely.
With that story, yes, that is possible.
Absolutely.
So if there's clinical signs and symptoms, even if the blood testing is normal.
And again, one of the issues is that the lab values have such a tremendous range. Again, we use a laboratory called Phoenix, but they're all similar, a little up, a little down, 1.8 to 4.5. Well, that's almost 300% in a range. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you're accounting for a 1-year-old and you're accounting for a 20-year-old when you say normal. And those normals for a 20-year-old or a 15-year-old shouldn't be the same as they are for a 5-year-old. And so thyroids, like I say, should rarely be above 2.5. I mean, occasionally you'll get 2.8 or 2.9 I'm saying in an 8-year-old or 7-year-old or older cat, particularly over 10. So, don't give up on
that. So are you saying that, because you talked about with that 23-pound cat with a cardiac disease of doing another test that diagnosed. So are there other diagnostic tests that can be run to diagnose it if the blood tests aren't making sense?
Well, again, there are other blood tests in particular that one should or could do first. And we talked about the free T4. If your doc is thinking that it's that, then try a free T4. I mean, that's the easiest thing to do. You just call a lab and add it on. You don't even have to bring the cat in, right, if you've done it within a week. And then there's another one where you can do a T3 suppression where you give them some medications and you do a pre and a post. And it's a little more cumbersome for the client, but it's pretty definitive, again, if the cat's a candidate. And that means he's got to have a T4 that's up in, I like him above 3, in that 3 to 4 range. Technetium scintigraphy is what I was referencing, and that's a scan that I think WSU does now only. I did it for a number of years, and we just, quite frankly, didn't do it often enough to maintain the equipment at the expense of maintaining the equipment. Mm-hmm. And so we don't do that anymore. But again, WSU does do that.
Okay, now so I want to know the name of the thyroid test. Well, the most common test would be the T4.
Correct.
And now I have a question about the radioactive treatment, the injection. What if you, because we already established that when the injection is given, it's iodine. So an overactive thyroid you know, sucks it in, that iodine. What if there is not a problem with the thyroid?
Well, then,
and you gave an injection, what would happen then?
The normal thyroid's going to take it up. Again, the only reason we don't get normal thyroid uptake in a hyperthyroid cat is because the feedback mechanism is telling the normal thyroid tissue essentially to go to sleep, to shut it down. And so it's shut down, not taking in iodine. Whereas if you gave it to a normal cat who's not hyperthyroid, then there's not going to be a suppression of normal function. It's going to be taking in iodine as it needs it to produce the hormone. But as it needs, it's going to be enough to get rid of it. And so that's why we do screen these cats and make darn sure that we're treating the cat.
Because it would negatively affect the thyroid then?
Well, it'd zap their thyroid. They'd probably end up being hypothyroid.
Okay. So you don't want to just be given the radioactive stuff on general principles.
We screen them so closely to make sure we're doing the treatment for the cat under the right circumstances.
But they would take in a lot less, wouldn't they, if it's a normal thyroid?
Yeah, I don't know a study on that, but they'd probably take in only what was necessary to kill their thyroid. I mean,
it would still be enough to.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, Aj, we'll go back to Jazz, your cat, because we kind of left him. You did diagnose it with blood tests, and your veterinarian said he could palpate or feel.
It was conclusive. There was no doubt. And after the first dose, like I say,
you
gave
a dose of
the
oral medication,
the Tapazole. And the next morning, he came and woke me up. He was his old personal chummy wummy self.
Oral medication usually help that quickly, Dr. Dennis?
Well, again, it depends on the cat. Like I said, there's some cats that doesn't affect, and some it really works well in.
He was so extreme. He completely turned around to normal, and he started sleeping with me or sleeping around the living room. He has all these places he can.
Okay, so this oral, the Tapazole, the oral medication, do you give it once a day, twice a day?
It's twice. I was told I could do it three, but because of my schedule, I haven't done it three, really.
Twice is typically what I recommend.
They typically do twice, and he's been raised on it once because he did one day.
Is it pills, capsules? Can it be liquid?
I'd like to say this. Yeah, it's pills, and I've tried several things to give it to him. He doesn't like taking the pills. He's gotten very smart about avoiding them. I tried putting them in his food. Someone told me that would work, and he took it fine for about 5 to 7 days, and then he got where he wouldn't eat his food because he's very smart, like most kitties. So that didn't work. So then I started giving it to him. I tried giving it to him before his food, and what would happen is it's like his appetite would shut off. He didn't think about food once I gave it to him. And I thought maybe it's because he didn't like to take the pill, but he would then go hours without eating, which that's not what you want in a hyperthyroid cat, for them to not eat. So I started doing it after he ate, but then I had to remember to do it. I'll tell you what I went to with that, which works really well for him, is I have gotten a transdermal medication of it, and I put it in his ears. It is quite a jump more expensive, but it's worth it.
So a transdermal, again, meaning it's like they compounded it into a cream, and you rub it into his ears, and then it soaks into the system that way.
Right.
And then that is working for you?
Well, he lets me put it. He's not totally happy sometimes, but other times he really likes it. I guess I must massage his ears just right.
Massage his ears.
I think it's really upsetting to his GI tract is what I think.
In the oral form?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can have reactions that are either systemic or local. So if you have a systemic reaction and going to the transdermal, he's still going to have GI. But if he's just got a local irritation from the medications, and the transdermal would work. But again, like you were going to say, the cost of that then outweighs.
Yeah, so can you give us an estimate?
I don't have
how
an
much
estimate,
you're spending,
but I
for
will
the
tell
transdermal?
You that I figured I could afford the treatment with the
iodine?
With the oral med. I figured I checked into the surgery and the radiation, and I just said, well, that's not affordable right now. But before this show even happened, over the last month, I can't give you a total, but I know it's enough that it's clear to me like the woman you were talking about.
But I mean, are we talking about oral meds being like $50 a month, $100 a month?
Well, or it's around $40 a month for the transdermal.
Around $40
a month. It's more like $15 a month with the pills. But
okay.
My cat can't do the oral pills. He won't.
Right. So you're looking more like about $40 a month.
And the other thing is the lab tests, which I don't have to do total screens, but there's the mini screens, which
well,
is
yeah,
still 50
Well, yeah, because then we've got the checking,
60.
The laboratory, and we've talked about all of that, as opposed to what you're saying, the radioactive thing, which when you're done, you're done.
Well, you
We're looking more at around $800 to $1,000, probably in that range.
It's $985 for the exam and the treatment. And if we don't resolve in the first 3 months, we retreat at no charge. If it comes back after 2 years, if I have a reoccurrence, I retreat at half the original fee. So that, and we just don't have that much.
Well, that's really reasonable.
Well,
so,
I don't
but
want people
and
not
you
to
like
do
you
it.
Were saying, I think you said it off air though, is that you know you could put it on a credit card and pay it off $50 a month, and you'd be doing the same thing as medication. But when you're done, you're done.
Exactly.
It is no less expensive. I'm absolutely clear that I'd be paying more if I keep doing what I'm doing. But the other thing that appeals to me about the radiation treatment is that he will be at a point where he can self-regulate his chemistry, most likely.
Yeah.
The surgery won't probably give him that, and the Tapazole. I really
you
was
know,
hearing
I'm
what...
sorry. I just, you know, I care so much about the animals and what I would be willing to put them through. And I just simply cannot imagine myself, I'm sorry, the cat, you know, in that 9 to 15-year-old range. I can't imagine being comfortable putting them through that kind of surgery when they're these, you know, the other option.
Oh. You're right. Yeah.
I just can't imagine it. All right, let's time out at that. We're going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in this hour. Pay attention, listen, support them, thank them. We'll come back and wrap up with our Vet Sunday and feline hyperthyroid disease. So, Ajay, get clear on any other questions you want to ask so we make sure we cover those bases. Stay with us, folks. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Visit Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Have you heard about energy balancing for animals? Elite master of the bioenergetic synchronization technique, Nels Rasmussen, has been creating transformations in health, mobility, and athletic performance in dogs, cats, and horses for over 30 years. To learn more, you can visit online, NelsHealingMinistry.com, or call 425-238-2668. That's 425-238-2668. BioClean Incorporated is a fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractor working under the authority of the Washington State Health Department. BioClean helps with extremely difficult situations, including hoarding of both objects and animals, the cleanup of trauma scenes, rodent infestations, mold issues, and cleanup of the aftermath of sewage and flood events. If the unthinkable happens to you and you're faced with a situation that involves a crime, trauma, or tragedy, you need to call BioClean. The entire staff at BioClean Incorporated pride themselves on combining compassion with expertise and professionalism. Serving all of Washington State, BioClean offers professional certified 24-hour emergency service with no additional charge for night or weekend calls. At BioClean Incorporated, you're more than a customer, you're someone they want to help. The BioClean professional cleanup team are experts at eliminating odors, contaminants, and biohazards. Call BioClean at 888-412-6300. That's 888-412-6300 or visit BioCleanWA.com for more information. Massage is good for everyone, including your pets.
Check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including T-Touch, aromatherapy, and manual ligament therapy, plus massage for canines and small and large animal certification. Visit online at nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. That's 877-836-3703. Or check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage on Facebook. Have you ever wondered about the healing potential of the human-animal bond? This potential is the core of Dr. Penny Lloyd's veterinary practice, as her goal is to help animals and people heal each other. She does this utilizing holistic veterinary care, therapeutic interaction skills, and human-animal health games. Working mostly with horses, but now also incorporating small animals into her practice, Dr. Penny is available throughout the greater Seattle area by appointment. Learn more at connectionthebestmedicine.com or call 360-502-1114. That's 360-502-1114. Earth Pet invites you to their newly expanded location at 1175 Northwest Gilman Boulevard in Issaquah, where you'll find a friendly, knowledgeable staff, gifts for animals and people, top quality all-natural pet food, and pet supplies for dogs, cats, birds, and small animals. So stop by Monday through Friday between 10 and 8, Saturdays 10 to 7, and Sundays 11 to 5 to meet the store cats and resident rabbit. There's even a self-service dog wash now open in pet-friendly Earth Pet, the Wetlands. And don't forget to check out Earth Pet's Facebook page.
You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and thanks for spending your time with us here on Animal World. Hope you do it every Sunday morning. We're here 9 a.m. to noon on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It's Vet Sunday today. We're winding down with Dr. Dennis Walker-Barth from the Feline Hyperthyroid Treatment Center at Cats Exclusive in Shoreline, Washington. We've been talking to Aji about her kitty with hyperthyroid situation. And said, Aji, had one more question.
Well, yeah, and a couple statements I'd like to make.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I make the statements first?
Well, whatever you want to do. I don't know what you're going to say.
Well, this one statement I'll make is that I am pretty much sold on this form of treatment. It's
already the radiation?
For my cat, anyway. He's 9. The odds of, you know, and he is otherwise
healthy.
Yeah,
I am, too. I feel totally different about it.
His blood tests are all really good. Uh-huh. His kidneys are fine. His heart is fine. So it seems like it's really worth it.
Yeah, that seems
and
like the
expenses of what I am paying over that many years is going to be like
going to save you a lot of money.
$6,000. But what I also really like is the notion that his body can probably self-regulate.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he has thyroid cancer, which I understand is really, really rare.
Yeah,
the
I'm
other thing is, for the last 6 months, I've been going to these really high quality pet food stores, and I know two of them, and I talk to people regularly, and they give me little supplement samples and all this, and they all tell me, you know, it's really hard to keep weight on him. You just do the best you can. You give him more supplements. His appetite is flaky already. Mm-hmm. And those who have had cats with this, they say even when you do the best you can, what happens is you just watch them waste away until they eventually die. So, you know,
the radiation makes
sense. I am all for trying this because then he will die when he's supposed to die. And yeah. I feel really good.
Oh, I'm totally convinced. I'm sold now.
Yeah.
I do. I feel like I understand it. And but I also, I know we have said it's not like we're talking bombs here. You know, it's not that. But is there radioactive waste and stuff involved in what you do? And if so, what do you do with all of that?
Well, there is from the cat. And we have to let clients store ours until it's zeroed out, which is about 80 days. Basically, radioactive compounds come down to background in 10 half-lives. Okay.
Oh,
and so I-131 has an 8-day half-life. So 80 days, basically. So
it just dissipates them?
Yeah,
it's
like putting a dish of hot food on the table, and hot's a great term here, and after a while it's at room temperature.
Cool. Oh,
well, that's exactly, in a sense, what radiation does.
Oh, okay.
It just takes 80 days to get to environmental temperature or background. And so we built a waste storage facility so that we could let ours deteriorate over time and not having to send it to Hanford, which is the other place to take it. And clients have to do that too, and it's pretty important because it's not that it hurts anything if it goes into a garbage, but post 9/11 in particular, it's an issue if it sets off a radiation detector at a landfill station. Yeah, and it sets, I mean, your taxpayer dollars are going to be figuring out what did that.
So, okay, anyway, we've got some questions here. Does this disease happen more to black cats or to certain breeds? I don't know where that came from.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I guess from my opinion, no, but I've read that Siamese and Himalayans and some purebreds are more prone to it.
Isn't that interesting? It's Siamese outcross, first generation is black.
And so, but again, I've read that. You know,
but you can't substantiate it in your experience.
Yeah, my brain doesn't hold on to that. And I would say it. There's no color.
Color. Now, what about how can listeners in other states know who to go to or to contact about this disease? Are there others doing what you're doing?
Yeah, I think talk to your veterinarian. And if they say they don't know, then look for a specialty practice in your area or in an area and call and ask if there's somebody that does I-131. They might not do it there. You could call your state veterinary association and ask them. They will know. So, yeah, you just have to make some phone calls.
All right. Yes, Ash.
Well, I wanted to also repeat what I heard you say, that when they do take the methimazole, that it does correct the symptoms, but the progression of the thyroid disease
continues
unchecked. And having been a registered nurse, I know a lot of pharmaceutical medications do that. I don't know how many people know that, but that makes me more want to get him on something else.
Yeah, we have more clarification today than we've ever had before on this disease, and knowing that the medication is not curing anything.
No.
It's just suppressing symptoms.
Well, the frustration for me are the cats that I get in that have been on methimazole for 3 years or 2 years or a year, and they had a T4 of 4 in the beginning, and the thyroid was the size of a lentil, and I might have treated them with a dosage that would have sent them home the next day. And now they've got that walnut-sized thyroid because it kept growing, and I've got to give them 10 millicuries, and they've got to stay in the hospital for 10 days. And it's like if I'd had an opportunity on this cat 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 5 years ago, then we would have not only not had to spend the income in the interim for that, the cat would have been treated in home sooner.
And after all those years, they would have easily paid for the treatment by now. And which is, we talked about this during the break. Folks, you didn't get to hear this, but it's very interesting that Dr. Dennis, I told you, he cares about your pocketbook. And even the Washington State, Wazoo, the vet school over there, state funded, is charging more for this radioactive treatment than you charge at the Feline Hyperthyroid Treatment Center. So what's wrong with that picture, folks? And now getting to what, because this is a very important point that I heard you talking about with Aji when we were off the air, is the importance of
early detection
and regular examinations, especially geriatric. So give us the lecture on that.
Yeah, cats really, they can't tell you. And though we're in tune with our cats, there are things that can be going on in their body that we're not going to know about. This cardiac cat, for example, who would have known that cat was a hyperthyroid cat? And in that cat, even regular veterinary visits didn't do it. But for most cats, just doing your geriatric exams, they should be done twice a year. They need to have blood tests. That's the way to pick it up sooner. And sometimes you'll see a T4 that's coming up, and we watch cats. Like, we'll get the T4 that's at 2.9 or 3, and we know that cat is emerging as a hyperthyroid cat, but it's not quite there. And so we might talk to the doc involved or the owner and say, recheck it in 3 months because we're not really comfortable. And if it goes from this 2.9 to a 3.1, then we're going, no, this cat's there. Why wait? Just treat the cat. Get it done. Again, if there's no contraindications and we're certain that this is an emerging thyroid disease. So,
well, that makes sense. And so when you're saying get the blood testing done, that's like a standard geriatric blood chemistry panel would include a T4.
Yeah, right? Geriatric panels.
Yeah. The regular, the exams, check them out now. Where do you stand in the, do you have a position on vaccinations? And
well, for our practice at Cats Exclusive, we, years and years ago, I don't even know, 15 years ago, went down to 3-year vaccination protocols. We don't vaccinate our cats at Cats Exclusive after 10.
After 10 years?
After
yeah,
10
years
old?
Of age, as I recall. I'm not in the general medicine world there, but I think that's what they're doing, except for rabies, which is mandated by the state because of the zoonotic or human component. So that is one, but... If they're doing what I think they're doing, and they were last doing distemper upper respiratory and leukemia being the other two vaccinations, they've just decided not to do after 10 years of age.
Yeah, good. Okay.
I'd like to make a quick point about Jas on his way to getting really extreme, that one of the symptoms is that he just seemed to be really frisky.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's normal, and I interpreted that as healthy, except when he got so jumpy about noises. But otherwise, he just appeared to be a very vital, alive cat.
Right. That's a statement I used to make to clients, too. You know, you get these 16-year-olds that are acting like kids. 5-year-olds, and you go,
that's not normal.
That's wrong. I mean,
yeah,
it's great, but it's wrong.
There's nothing
so
wrong.
When I get done treating your cat, you're going to have a 16-year-old cat now.
Oh.
And we didn't do anything bad. We've just allowed him to not be pushed to his maximum, and he's not going to wear out quite as fast because we're not burning
him up.
Makes
so much sense. Now, one more question here that's coming up. Do other cats in a family that's being treated have to keep soiled litter separate from healthy cats?
No.
It sounds like it's only very temporary.
Yeah, what I tell my clients to do, the only reason I would tell them to do that is so they don't have the volume of cat litter to deal with. I mean, I have asked them to do a clumpable cat litter. And so if a cat goes in and urinates, and that's where 99% of the iodine is coming out, very, very little comes out in the feces. And so clumpable cat litter, if you haven't cleaned your cat box since the last cat used it, if you've ever noticed, they'll go in, they'll sniff around, they'll go, oh, there's some urine. I'm going to dig over here and go. They'll dig over here and they'll jump out. So there really is no exposure.
Yeah.
And so... The issue is you've got to save your waste for 2 weeks, and then you've got to store that for 80 days. How much cat litter do you want to store?
Right.
And if you got 12 cats, that's a lot of cat litter. So in those cases, I would say if you can, segregate that cat so you don't have as much to store. That's the issue.
Well, that makes sense. All right. Well, geez, I can't believe that we are almost out of time already, but so much great information. Thanks for coming and sharing. I know I got a real education, and I understand it a lot better, and I know what I would do with my cats if I get to that point. Hopefully mine are all below 2, that I won't be there for a number of years to come. But do pay attention. Get in for the regular exams. Dr. Dennis has said, you know, he'll come back to Animal World, but also we have just found out now we've got a wealth of feline veterinarians, 7 on his staff now. And we didn't even get to all the great information about some of the way that he directs how things are done at the hospital and so forth that really keep you and your animal friend in mind and give you the options of making the choices of what's going to work best for you and your cat friend. You're not dictated to at Cats Exclusive. You are worked with.
No, the team is great that way. They just present all the options, all the prognosis, all the costs, and say, what do you want to do? And we'll guide you, you know, here's what we think. But there are always options.
So Dr. Dennis has promised to give me access to all the great vets on his staff. And I know you're constantly asking me for more feline programming. So we're going to do that. And so I'm going to powwow with him off the air and find out who his great talkers are. And we're going to get more Vet Sundays going here and talk about our cat friends and what we can learn from all of this. So just know we've got After Animal World today, encore presentation of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis, and then an hour of The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. Next week, it's Behavior Training and Healing Sunday with Martha. So open phone lines for your behavior training and healing calls with me. And we'll also be talking about this big Sparks canine behavior and science convention that's coming up at the end of the month with Dr. Michael Fox and Mark Beckhoff and a lot of other PhD whizzes. And it sounds like it's going to be a grand affair and how you can participate or at least how you can watch for free online. That's really neat. Some of these really, you know, big conventions and so forth, you have no access to if you can't afford it. But this is affordable because free anybody can do. You just need internet access. So we'll be talking about all of that. And I want to thank you, Mike. Thank you, Ajie. Thank Jazz for us because he was a help.
Thank you, Jazz.
Kathy, thank you. And Dr. Dennis Walkerbarth, Cats Exclusive and the Feline Hyperthyroid Treatment Center in Shoreline and in Tacoma. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I look forward to having you back.
Great. Likewise.
And as always, let me remind you, animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to. Open your heart. Share your love with all living things, and I'll talk to you again next week.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.